Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you here on this Getaway Friday, June the 18th, 2021. 16 minutes past the hour, and we want to thank Ray Grogan for coming on this morning. Very interesting interview. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? We have a few minutes here. Does anybody have any thoughts on the whole Judge Warner situation? We just learned about this yesterday. And so we'll open it up for phone calls this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any feelings on the resignation of Judge Warner a year after the accident, which started this whole mess, as I called it, earlier on? Also, if you have any thoughts on the whole situation with the auditor, we did not get a chance to open up the phone lines yesterday in regard to that. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And we can discuss it. I hope everybody learned something from the interview with Ray. I didn't want to come on this morning and just talk about the letter and just read it. I wanted to get some insight from somebody who certainly knows the law here in Marion, as well as somebody who knew Judge Warner. I think that's very important, who had worked with him, because this is important. It's an important issue here in Marion. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. I have a question.
Go ahead.
When that money was sent to, it was sent to the state, and it should have gone to federal, am I right?
Right.
Okay. Well, what did the, when they received that money, what did they do with it? I mean, what department would they put in? Why wouldn't they have whoever received it question, hey, this isn't ours?
Oh, at the state?
Yeah.
Well, my understanding is that, see, the timeline is what's confusing, and I think that's why there is an investigation was opened up, because this whole thing apparently happened in June of 2020,
okay. And
nobody really knows for sure how this happened. Did the state call auditor? Did he find it himself? I don't think he did. So somebody did call him. But I think by that point, it was too late. Now, again, this is just what I know, because I think that's one of the reasons there's a lot of problems that Auditor Landon, with him not answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows how he became aware of it. Was it the IRS sent him a note saying, hey, you haven't paid your IRS bill? Was it the state who called and said, why are you sending us this?
See, that's what I question. I mean, now I know we wouldn't be Susie opening up the mail, and we get this check and say, well, this isn't ours. How long did it lay someplace before it was notified back to whoever, whether it was right, wrong, or indifferent? It looks to me like there's people on both ends are kind of at fault. The one that received it that shouldn't have received it, and did they let them know? And why can't that be figured out?
Well, I think that's what they're trying to do now. And to be honest, my guess is with the state, anytime you send the state money, because it would have gone to a department that obviously they do pay at some point. And the state may have thought, and I can't speak for the state, but they might have thought maybe an early payment is being made. Because I don't think any letter goes with why this money is coming.
But why, I mean, what I'm saying is, where did they, whoever received it, the state, right, received
right,
it.
Right.
What little jar did they put that money in, or did they question? And then, I mean, we're talking a year that well, this is going on.
Well, see, and I think that's one of the questions here is, did the auditor become aware immediately that this had been sent to the wrong place and he just could not get the money back? And, you know, and I think a lot, and this is nothing against the Marion Star because I think they do a good job in their reporting, but I think the confusion is that really him making the mispayment is not the issue. That would not be criminal, in my understanding. That's a mistake, and that's really not the issue. The issue is that sometime between June and February, which is, what, 7-8 months, he became aware of it and took money from the city without ever saying a word to anybody on city council, ever saying a word to the mayor, didn't say anything. Didn't say, I've done this, I've made a mispayment, I haven't recovered the money, and then went ahead and took more money without getting the original money back and paid the IRS, which is what is resulting in over $66,000 in fines now, and will result in more fines because there are still two more quarters to come, and nobody ever, did he have the power to do that? That's the crux of this.
I can understand that, but why? How long was it after the state received the money, did they return it?
It took a while.
Yeah, now that doesn't make sense either. I mean, if I sent you a check and you really weren't supposed to have it, I mean, it didn't go to you, why would it take so long to just, in this day of magic computers, it looks to me like within a week it would have been back to Marion.
Well, like I say, my guess would be the city pays the state every year, and without knowing why this money was coming, without the city putting a note with it, my guess is, and it's just my guess, is that they probably thought maybe you're paying early, maybe you're paying in advance. There's a lot of reasoning that could go into that, that the state would not call up. You know, I think it's, you know, if you pay a bill company, let's say your electric bill is $61, and you send them a check for $200, they're not going to call you and say, why'd you send us all this money? They're just going to credit your bill, because you're going to continue to pay them.
Well, yeah, but we're talking peanuts here. We're not talking big bucks, you know, if that would be the case. I was just confused. I guess I try to think of in terms of a human, us individual peons. Why would you not, when that came through, why would you question somebody, hey, this isn't ours, and they do something about it, like, almost immediately instead of how many months later?
Right, and I think we all, I don't think anybody, well, I can't speak for other people, but I haven't gotten the impression that people are angry with the auditor over the mispayment. I don't think that is the problem. I think the problem is whenever he became aware of it, why didn't he tell anybody?
Yeah, well, that's true. But then we don't know what's his thing. And whether he's right or wrong, I don't know. But he is human. And he says, well, you know, we can fix that.
Right, well,
there's lots of money.
Right,
there
and I think
lots of money.
Well, I think that's what bothers city council and the mayor, from what I've been able to ascertain, is, as you said, this is not peanuts. This is $1.28 million, and that this was just taken and paid to the IRS when the original money had not been recovered without any authorization from the finance committee, any authorization from city council, any authorization from the mayor, that nobody knew that this had even been done. I think that's what the because that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money, but he's, and I don't even know him, but right or wrong, he probably didn't do it with the idea as a cover-up, I would say. But it kind of seems like when you listen to part of this, it's kind of like somebody's trying to hang him out to dry instead of solving the problem. I don't know, because I don't know him at all. But he is just a human, and what would you have done? And then if you backpedaled and said, man, I shouldn't have done that. I should have done other. And I understand he should know better, because he is an elected official that's worked in finance evidently forever. And it just seems like kind of a mess. But anyway.
Well, I just can't figure out. And I would love to talk to the auditor. I really would, because I have no axe to grind. I mean, you know, these questions would be interesting. Why didn't the state send the money back? Did the state alert you, or did the IRS alert you? Why did you wait 8 months to tell anybody?
That's what I question, you know, without listen. So, but, and like I say, I don't know, and I don't know him or nothing about. But it just kind of seems like from the get-go, it's kind of like he's getting hung out to dry. But he's not defending himself. That's the worst part. He is not defending himself or his actions.
Right,
he's
and you know...
sitting back quietly.
Well, and I think I don't understand, to be honest with you. What I can't figure out is it's just, it's always this way. And we see it in society all the time, and in politics for some reason. Somebody comes in, and something goes wrong. Now, something going wrong is not, that's not always the worst part. It's the cover-up is what they always say. You know,
that's
we just talked we just talked about Judge Warner. If he had just dialed 911 while he was there that night on his cell phone, none of this would have happened.
Yeah, but I guess we all can think different ways about what happened there. And that's a sad, sad thing. And especially for his wife, who I think is getting, is having to take a blunt of weather, whatever. But, you know, you think, and it makes you wonder how their kids feel about this.
Well, you know, it's our city, and I think one of the problems with it is that it is confusing right now. Now, I think, much like all things, it will all come to light one day, but I just don't understand anymore why people... Like the other day when Ayers was on, yesterday, I think, when he said, he asked the auditor, you know, what were your previous qualifications in finance? And the auditor wouldn't answer that question. Now, why wouldn't you answer that question?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I mean, if you're up front with everything, it's like Judge Judy says, if you always tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory.
Perfect. Well, hey, thank you
have
for calling.
Bye-bye.
And it's a point to be made. I don't know. You know, both of these men, Judge Warner and the auditor, and I'm not comparing what's happened here at all. I'm just saying they both are getting a lot of attention right now in the local media. I've never had a bad moment with either one of them that I can ever remember, but it's just interesting to follow these things. And I guess when you don't have a political bend, when you don't align yourself with any political party, it really is interesting just to watch it and listen to it and wonder what is going on. Why are things happening the way they happen? Because it really is interesting. When I read that letter last night from Judge Warner, I was really kind of taken back. I heard he resigned, and much like everybody else, and I thought, oh, okay. And then I read the letter, and I thought, well, this is interesting. This certainly, because To be honest with you, I thought the resignation letter, much like Ray had said, would be a few sentences. You know, I resigned my position, and thank you for letting me serve. Something like that. I thought that's what it would be, but didn't quite turn out that way. So, there you go. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. But I don't understand what's going on, to be honest with you, in the political realm right now. It is so confusing. And, you know, the media does get a little, how do I put this? Because I understand, I really do understand what Judge Warner is trying to say in his letter about the media, that the media can sway opinion. But the truth is, you can't not cover that story. When you have a sitting judge, and he was sitting until he resigned this week, that is involved in something like this, you can't act like it doesn't happen. See, this is the quandary of people who will come on and say, well, we're only going to report good news. Well, that's okay, up until something like this happens. Because you can guarantee, no matter how much you might want to hear good news every morning, when something like this happens and the first person whispers to you and says, hey, did you hear what happened with the judge last night? And you are the station or you are the periodical, the newspaper, not talking about it, all of a sudden you become irrelevant. If you're talking about, you know, sales of cookies just because it's a good story, and you don't report on the things that are going on in society, well, how long are people going to listen to that? Because people do want to know. And, you know, these two cases with the auditor really have proved that, because people have very strong feelings about those. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you know, thing I can take up, you know, all this with both of those people is we do forgive. You know, people in this country forgive, but it depends on how sincere you are about your forgiveness. You know, if Judge Warner didn't continue to try to act like, you know, he's an apostle of God and, you know, he has done nothing wrong, or if the auditor would have been forthcoming to what happened, and with the city and with the councilman and the mayor and the members over the situation, people will forgive and forget, but it's how you do it.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting point. I thank you for calling in.
You know, because, you know, he could still have a career in something here in Marion. But not if, you know, you're almost making it to where the best thing for you is to move. Because you, the way you've handled everything, you know what I'm saying?
I do, and I appreciate the opinion, thank you. We're moving on here this morning. I think we've got a special call coming in, which hopefully will lighten the morning a little bit. It's a heavy morning, to be honest with you here, with everything that we're learning and everything going on. Well, maybe if I can get my microphone back to where I want it here. You know, sometimes you just got to clean these microphones up a little bit. Okay, I think that sounds much better. Microphones are an interesting thing, to be sure. All right. I think we're going to have a special guest momentarily joining us via telephone. I look forward to this. This is always a lot of fun when we do this. Now, it's going to be something new we're going to try here this morning. I don't think we've ever tried this before. So hopefully it will go well. Let's hope that at this particular point. All right, here it goes. Let's see if this is it. I believe it is. So this morning we're going to try something new just because of logistics with the person on the phone line living in Columbus, Ohio. I met this man, I believe, back in January. Saw him performing, busking in Columbus, Ohio. Have interviewed him. I went down to Columbus and interviewed him at the North Market. He has been here in the studio a few weeks ago when we had President Harding. He's always a lot of fun to talk to. And because, as I say, of logistics, him being in Columbus and us being here, we're going to try something this morning to perk you up on a Friday morning and talk to him via telephone, hear some music, and see how it goes over the telephone. He is Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man. Bobby Ray, how you doing?
Hey, buddy, how can you hear me, man? Is it a good connection?
Yes, it sounds great. So how's life been the last couple weeks?
I have had a crazy, personally, my son's finally moved out of the house, so so it's been a combination of celebration and tears and loneliness. So he's my youngest, and so I'm finally, like, I have no kids anymore for the first time in 20-some years.
Do you have the emptiness syndrome?
Yes, I absolutely do. I've called my mother a couple of times to where she's like, dude, you got to call, like, between, like, she told me that, you know, what time I needed to call her. So clearly I've become, like, I'm on an emotional roller coaster. And I'm still cleaning up his crap. Excuse me.
Well, Bobby Ray, it's Friday here, and we all love your music. So let's hear it, one of the tunes that you play so well.
Oh, yeah, you got it, buddy.
Radio, what a day to celebrate Getaway Friday here. Now, Bobby, is there any way to put the phone closer to your mouth so we can hear your vocals a little better?
Oh, yeah, you betcha, buddy. That is exactly the kind of feedback I was looking for. So I have no idea. It's a good phone. I just got it. I bet I could put it up here. No, I don't know. Hold on.
We're talking with Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man here, and he is just fascinating and a really talented guy. When he was here a few weeks ago, when we had our Warren G. Harding impersonator in studio, that turned out to be one of the great mornings. I had so much fun that morning. It blew right by. That was a very quick day because of Bobby Ray's talents and certainly Warren G. Harding's impersonation that morning and speeches. It was a great morning, was it not, Bobby Ray?
It was. It was a lot of fun. It was, thanks to you, dude. I don't know how you do this. We didn't have any discussions, meetings, plans, or anything. He basically, Scott just gathered a bunch of random people that didn't even know each other in the studio and made a show. It was incredible. It was really impressive watching you work. Anyone that heard it.
Well, I appreciate that. Bobby Ray, you know, you did a song here when you were here that day, and I got a lot of great feedback about it, about Ohio. Can you do the Ohio song?
What, Beautiful Ohio?
It was beautiful. What was the other one?
I do about four or five.
Okay.
I'm a pathetic panderer, but I think you're talking about our official state song, Beautiful Ohio, right?
Yeah, so, I think that was the one.
So that was written in the early 30s, and became a very popular song, and Ohioans liked it, so they made it their state song. Then sometime in the 60s, there were some lyrics added to it, but about our geography, like our roads and waterways or something. But originally, it's just a song about making out in a canoe, really. So very good Ohio tradition. Finding awkward places to make out. I think those Indian mounds were built for.
Song you did when you were here a couple weeks ago, and I think you did it in regard to Florence Harding's Love of the Piano. I had never heard this song. It was great. The audience, I'm sure,
was for Irving Berlin.
Yeah,
it was like one of the number one songs of 1915. They didn't have record charts back then, but they had sheet music and piano roll. So, and it was very popular on piano roll because Irving Berlin was a great pianist and he wrote piano pieces that were challenging.
Well, the lyrics of that song are so great. So if you could hit us with that one, Bobby Ray, it'd be great.
Yeah, I think this is what helped Paderewski become the first Prime Minister of Poland, the Republic of Poland. So, but most Polish people don't know this song, or American. And the slideshow, oh, I thought was simply divine. Watching day when they play, I could hear them. Every bar is a jar to my system. For there's one musical instrument that I call by.
Something interesting about these songs from the early 20th century, the lyrics are so great. What do you think it was about that era?
It was the limitations of recording and also the tradition that it came from, right? The Tin Pan Alley era was the dawn of mass media, and these songs, before that, there was really just folk music. Folk music was and there was some opera, and there was but even then, that was the, there was no mass media before that. And suddenly in the late 19th century, really by the mid-19th century, it was ramping up. The American press, obviously, famously became promoted and a big deal in the United States, and one of the things that presses printed was music. So, you know, so, and spreading the music around the country, so Americans were all singing the same stuff, you know. People in Ohio sang, you know, as whereas before music spread just by, you know, oral tradition, right? So, I think that, and so I, it stems from a couple of things that, when you go to make a record, right, you don't, it's, you don't have the same options as you do in a music hall, right? So, because you can't fit enough violins in the room and that sort of thing. So, and so if you remember, if you think about it, the early records, all the singers had these big brassy voices, you know, where, you know, they all sang like this and over-enunciated their words, yay, you know, like that. And it wasn't until after the microphone came around that we started getting, you know, Bing Crosby and Billie Holiday and the kind of crooners and stuff that we think of today when we think of jazz.
What do you think happened to the lyrics? You know, I think about the song there about the piano. I think about Josephine and the flying machine. Yeah, that is, you would not get that today. There would not even be a remake of something like that. What was it about those lyrics?
I think you would get something like that today. I think you see a lot of it in rap music and stuff. Rap music is obviously lyrically driven, right? So it's and rap ballads and stuff. So that's kind of taken over in this one segment of our oral poetic tradition, right? So people that would have been poets a couple of generations ago are now rappers, and I think it's the same kind of thing that was happening back then, is that people that would have been poets became Tin Pan Alley writers, right? So, also American life was just sort of, we were just sort of getting an identity, right? We weren't just, English rebels anymore, right? We became like a people of our own, and we wanted to sing about ourselves, right? About stuff. So, you know, the most popular song for most of the 19th century was Yankee Doodle, right? Which was a song that was written by the British to make fun of us. And that was, you know, but that was one of the most published songs. Every old American sang it and knew it. And it was like a great joke we got together. But that was our number one song. So by the 1910s, you know, and songs like Come Josephine and My Flying Machine, we were singing about ourselves and proud to do it because we had become this sort of unique people. So we had a lot to say, and we still do. It just doesn't appear like that, you know? It appears in unlikely places. Not really even unlikely places. I think it appeared in the same... It's probably some of the same neighborhoods where rap music is written today, where the places, or the same kinds of neighborhoods, certainly, were the same places where Tin Pan Alley tunes
absolutely.
Were written.
Let's hear a little Josephine this morning.
Oh, yeah, you got it, buddy. I love this song. Second Waltz in the Morning. To the sky, hear, oh, my flying machine. Jump in, Miss Josephine, ship ahoy. Oh, boy, what a feeling, there's joy. Through the feeling, oh, high. While we fly through the sky, so high. I'm Josephine in my flying machine, going up. She goes, up, she goes, balance yourself like a bird on a beam in the air. She goes, there she goes, up, up, a little bit higher. Oh my, the moon is on fire. Come go see my flying machine going up along the goodbye. Up, she goes, up,
The listening audience know, because they are definitely interested, where will you be performing this weekend, weather permitting?
Okay, I've got a show. Yeah, that's right, weather permitting. So it looks like I'm gone looking at rain. Is it raining in Marion yet?
It's thundering here right now. I think the rain's just about to happen.
I think the winds, though, are coming from the southwest, so we might actually get rain before you do. But I'm usually at the North Market on Saturdays and Sundays from, like, noon until I am exhausted, and then I am always at the corner of Vine and High every night from 6 o'clock, not except for Wednesdays and Mondays mostly, but and then every day now, and I'm going to try to today during the week, I try to go downtown and do a lunch hour thing, and I'm always shooting video of my TikTok on my TikTok live stream. Gosh, I got to get better at plugging myself. I do a TikTok live stream. You know, it's always a simulcast TikTok live stream, just like a documentary of my busking that you can see on TikTok.
Now, have you learned any new songs recently?
I really haven't, because it is funny. During the lockdown, at the beginning of the lockdown, even when I was sick, because I got sick right at the beginning of the lockdown. I had COVID, and it really destroyed me for a few months. But I did learn a couple of songs, and that put me over. So I think I know about 106 songs. I have about 101 songs in my repertoire, in my regular act, right? So, and I know a few other songs, like holiday songs and things like that. So, oh, but then I haven't learned anything in like, when I think I just became depressed. So I am back. So I am now trying to learn a new song. So I don't know how long it's been since I learned a new song, but I play over 100 songs. So I realized that really just a few days ago that I was in kind of a slump. I should really be regularly learning songs and maybe getting rid of the ones.
Well, Bobby Ray, you know I've become one of your biggest fans. You are always welcome to come in or come on. It's always a pleasure. The music is great and just makes you feel better.
I'll do this, and I'd love to solve any of the sound issues, because this is awesome for me. I would love to come on and do a few songs for you whenever.
All right. Well, Bobby Ray, if you want to play us out here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's do a country song. One of the first country songs from 1953. Comb your hair and face in powder. I swear that you love it.
It upsets me when I hear people talk about her the way they do, because that isn't her. And I don't know why it's ended up that way, you know? But if somebody would explain it to me, I'd like to know.
Jim Blessing, grandson of President Warren G. Harding, announcing exclusively on WWGH Radio.